Please open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. It's good to have the opportunity to sing a number of songs, some songs that we're not quite so familiar with. And of course, in our times gone by, we would use singing nights to learn some new songs. And so I'm thankful to those of you who have tried to help us with that. And it's been good to be able to sing together. Good to have some new song leaders, too. Appreciate your work. Your efforts to do what you can do to help this congregation to grow and worship in an acceptable way. As you open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1, of course we know that this is the second epistle that the apostle is writing to those who are dispersed. And he says in verse 12 of chapter 1, "Wherefore I shall be ready always to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them and are established in the truth which is with you. And I think it right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that the putting off of my tabernacle cometh swiftly, even as our Lord Jesus Christ signified unto me. Yea, I will give diligence that at every time ye may be able after my decease to call these things to remembrance." Now, there are a multitude of things in those short verses that we want to comment in our study tonight as we offer the Lord's invitation, as we want to comment about. We know that the Apostle Peter is writing to call to their remembrance things that they already know. Now, I would dare say that often when I stand before you and preach, I mention passages that you know. You're familiar with them. You know what they say. And I would also dare say that often you do not have to turn to them, though I would encourage you to do that, to see that how I read them, that's just what the text says. Because you can quote many of them, I would dare say. But the Apostle Peter had taught these folks these things, and they are established in them. But his point is, I'm writing these things so that you can remember them. They're in print. They're written down so that you can read it and call to mind the things that you already know. Now, Peter obviously knows that something is about to happen to him, because the Lord had already told him, and he makes reference to it in this passage. And you can turn in your Bible, if you will, to John chapter 21, where the Lord has been raised from the dead, and the Apostle Peter is being questioned by the Lord about the loyalty, the love that he has for the Lord. But that thought continues, if you'll note, beginning in verse 18 of John chapter 21. "Verily I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not." Now this he spake, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify God. Now look at that. Peter says that what the Lord said to me is about to happen. I'm about to die, and I want you to recall the things that I've taught you. Now most of us, I would dare say, as we grow older, we've tried to make some effort to teach those round about us, and it's important to all of us that you call to mind the things that we've been trying to teach you, so that you know these things, you can be established in them. Now, as we have on the board the passage that I just read, you see emphasized the word remembrance. Now, some of the things that we've talked about today have had to do with remembering. We've talked about memorials in our study this morning, and how that many of those memorials you can read about in the Bible are, we mentioned this morning, many of them noted in the bulletin from this morning, were for the purpose of calling to the memory of those individuals things that should be important to them. Now, I would also dare say that as we proceed in our study tonight, there are days that you mark because they're important to you. Would that be about right? For example, I know for a fact, because I did the ceremony for some of you, that there is a day that you got married, and it's a day, no doubt, you put on the calendar. You celebrate that day every year as your anniversary. Wouldn't that be about right? The day is important. It's a day you want to remember. Now, husbands, if you don't think that's important, you just let some slip and see where that gets you. That's important to you, and it's important to your spouse, and it's important to your family, because it was that day that you promised you were going to be loyal and faithful and forsake all others and be faithful to this one. Till death you do part. Remember those words. Till death you do part. Now that's the substance of the question that the Pharisees asked Jesus about in Matthew 19. In verse 3, their question was, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And Jesus said, have you not read that God, who made them in the beginning, made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And you read that? Now why is he quoting that there? To call to their remembrance something they already should know. In reference to their question, he said, what therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Now anybody that I do a wedding ceremony for, they were reminded of that passage. Also reminded of Romans chapter 7 and verse 2, where the writer is talking about the permanency of the relationship, till death you do part. For if a woman has a husband and she's joined to another man while her husband lives, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband is dead, till death you do part. She is free to be joined to another because her husband is dead. Now we look at passages like this and we certainly are impressed with just how important that is. From Malachi chapter 2, we learn that the Israelites have been used to divorcing their companions time after time, and the writer said, God hates divorce. Now, you're reminded of that. And we're reminded of this element of leaving and cleaving, as Bruce says, more to stick like being welded together, because we blend two lives into one. Now look carefully at that. What does that require of you? When you are standing before God and before your friends and relatives and you're promising to be faithful, don't you sometimes hear these words of Ephesians chapter 5? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. Wives, submit unto your husbands. Now we quote those verses, don't we, in marriage ceremony because they're important. Do you remember the day you got married? Do you remember the day that you promised these things to your companion? Now, they're important things, and we want to remember those things. Maybe you remember the day your child was born. You celebrate their birthday. What a marvelous occasion when children are born. I remember when Katiebug was born, and Chris and I were standing at the window looking at this little baby through the glass, and I said, now, what would you do if somebody tried to harm that little girl? Remember that? He said, whatever it takes. Now, why would you do that? Because you see, this child is precious. You remember the day they were born with great clarity. And you celebrate that on their birthday, year by year by year. Of course, the psalmist said that the man who has a multitude of them, it's like arrows in his quiver. The man is indeed blessed. Isn't that a grand thing? And so we see the importance of that. But do we understand the responsibility of it? To teach our children, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, as we read in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 4. You see, what a wonderful thing that it is, but what a sobering responsibility it is to have the soul of a child that you're responsible for, to teach them and to guide them in the days to come as they grow up and mature. You remember that, don't you? And what about the day that you were born spiritually? Is that important to you? Do you remember that date? I was talking with Caitlin earlier about this very thing. We know in Acts chapter 22 and in verse 16, Ananias asked Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. We know in Acts chapter 2 that about 3,000 were added by the Lord to His church on that day. It was a great day. The day that you obeyed the gospel was a day of great rejoicing. We see that concerning the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. He went on his way rejoicing. We see that on the occasion of the Philippian jailer in Acts the 16th chapter. He and his whole house had occasion to rejoice, having believed in the Lord. They were baptized into Christ. What a memorable occasion. Well, why is it so memorable? You know, sometimes we ask questions about Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. How is it that we are brought into contact with the blood of Christ? Well, that day that you were baptized into Christ is when you applied the blood of Christ to wash your sins away. That's why Saul said, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." What a glorious occasion. The day that your sins were washed away, you were born anew, as Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And that's exactly what these in Rome had done. Paul said, "Don't you remember what you were? But now look at what you have become. You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine whereunto you were delivered, and being made free from sin, you've become servants of righteousness." Well, this morning and this evening, for those of you who were unable to observe the Lord's Supper, the first day of the week is a great day, because on the first day of the week you're called upon to remember what the Lord has done for you. And we talked about that rather extensively in our study this morning. What we did not talk about this morning is the shame of the cross. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, we note that having this great cloud of witnesses, we are supposed to press on, but we look past that. And we look to Jesus, the author and finisher or perfecter of our faith, who endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of His majesty. That's what Jesus did for us. And so when we observe the Lord's Supper, we want to remember those things. We want to remember the darkness of the hour that surrounded His death. We want to understand the sacrifice and why it was necessary in order that we might be saved from our sins. Now, why is Peter writing? Very simple point. To stir them up. Now, those of you in our Hebrews study know that the very purpose of this writing of the book of Hebrews is to help them, to stir them up, so that they'll know what they have in Christ and not try to go back to the practices of the law of Moses. That's real important for them, because if they try to go back to the practices of the law of Moses, they give up everything. And so the writer encourages them in verse 12 of chapter 3, "Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief and falling away from the living God. But exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today." Do we not see the urgency of that? "Lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we are become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end." The warning to these Hebrews: don't give up. Don't go back. Don't throw in the towel. But you remain dedicated. You remain devoted. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, you remember this, those of you in our authority study, verse 46 specifically, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He calls upon us to be strong, active, dedicated, and faithful, and to never lose sight of the joy of our salvation. Well, we learned this morning that we are to have the mind of Christ. I think, Randy, you referred to this passage as you were conducting the Lord's Supper, that we are to have the same mind that Christ had. And that's set in a context of humility. How that He left the glory of heaven and lived in the flesh in order that He might die the cruel death of the cross. So Peter is writing to stir these folks up so that they will remember who they are and why they are what they are. As the Apostle Paul writes, to be a living sacrifice, to be transformed in their lives. So why do we need stirring up? Because there are challenges along the way, are there not? There's temptation along the way. And sometimes when we're trying to do the thing that's good, we suffer for it. We see that's what the Lord did. And He set the example, Peter said, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21. And in chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. And as you pursue that thought, into 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning about verse 12 and through 16, you'll see that thought being presented there. That sometimes we suffer because we're doing the thing that is right. Always be reminded. Well, in our study, most recent study of the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, those of you who joined us in that, in our study on Tuesday night. Recall the words of the apostle to this young preacher who was preaching in the wicked city of Ephesus. And Paul is telling him, your job, the things that you've heard, verse 2 of chapter 2, among many witnesses, he said, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What's that mean, Timothy? It means you are to suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ. Well, what's going to be the motivation to do that? He said, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead of the seed of David according to my gospel. Why did Paul suffer the things that he did? Because he realized who Jesus is. Now you just think on that for a while. When Saul on the road to Damascus asked the question, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Well, it had been some time since Jesus had been crucified, hadn't it? And now Paul is trying to put to death those who are becoming Christians. And now the resurrected Lord appears to him. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Now, Timothy, you want to do your job, do the work of an evangelist? Don't you ever forget that. You remember who Jesus is, raised from the dead of the seed of David, according to my gospel. This is what I preach. Remembering that Jesus lives ought to stir us up. And that's one of the reasons why the Apostle Peter is writing. In the first epistle, he said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, who his own sin bear, or his own self bear our sins in his body upon the tree, that we having died unto sins might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed, for ye were going astray like sheep, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. That's profound. You remember that. You remember who he is. Now, what do we do about all of this? Well, there are lots of things to remember, aren't you? You remember the day you got married. You remember the day your child was born. You remember the day that you became a Christian. You ought to remember every day of your life who Jesus is. But on the first day of the week, we observe this memorial so that we don't forget who Jesus is and what he has done for us, and then what that should mean to our lives, to be stirred up and always reminded. Because you see, the old folks not always going to be around to call that to our remembrance, are they? So what do we do? We examine ourselves. Learn what the book says. Make application of it. Maybe I'm talking to somebody tonight who's not a Christian. You want to change that. You can do it tonight. Believing that Jesus is the Christ, you must repent of your sin, confess your faith, and be baptized into Christ. Now maybe you've done that, and like these that Peter is writing to, you need a little jog every once in a while to remind you of who you are. That's why he's writing. Or maybe you've forgotten. You need to correct that before the time comes when you'll not have the opportunity to do so. If we can pray with you and for you to that end, then make that known while we stand together and Matt leads us in this song. There's a fountain free.